Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. He said, I'm not ashamed, verse number 16, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God unto salvation. Say unto salvation. You know, that's a big word in the New Testament. Salvation is, it's translated healed. It's translated make whole. It's translated sound. It's translated preservation or preserved. How many of you know we had a lot of salvation in, on the 10th of August? Or no, what was it? What day was it? 10th. Was that the 10th? My goodness, time is flying by. The 10th of August, we had a lot of salvation manifest in the Spirit of Faith Family Church. You say, we were all saved? What are you talking about? I'm talking about preserved from storms. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. But notice he doesn't stop there. It's the power of God unto salvation just to everybody? To everyone. Well, is that everybody? No, everyone that believes. Tell your neighbor, it's for those that believe. And guess what? How many of you know anybody can believe? I mean, they can come to God and receive the measure of faith and believe God. It's the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of faith. That's the reason why we were talking about, but I think two Sundays ago, about faith. Remember that? Yeah. We're going to get into it some more this morning. We were talking about according to your faith. Remember that statement in Matthew 9? Jesus told the lepers that, according to your faith, be it unto you. And we were spending some time talking about that because the Lord said, I want you, with this new emphasis of leading this congregation and teaching this congregation about the things of the Spirit and developing their faith for the things of the Spirit, I want you to at least take one season in every year and teach real strong on just the subject of faith. Amen. 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 And so we just went ahead and obeyed that as if that was God talking to us. Amen. Giving us direction. So we're talking about faith. Amen. And he might say, well, why don't you teach on this or that or the other? Well, I'll do anything the Lord wants me to. I'd like to do a series on the family, you know. And husbands and wives and children and I don't know, maybe get the dog in there if we have time. But anyway, but we're just being led. I wanna be led. How about being led? You get faith down, it'll help your family. Everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He's basically saying there, anybody. He's no respecter of persons. But he is a respecter of faith. Then if it said verse 17, for therein, that's the gospel, therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Notice he didn't say, therein do we become more righteous from faith to faith. No, he's not talking about becoming more righteous. How many of you know if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And old things have passed away, all things have become new. And the Bible says, that's in 2 Corinthians, you remember chapter number 5. And in that same passage, it also says some things about this new creation. It says, you want to look at it with me? I'll just turn there real quick. That's verse number 17. We just quoted verse 17. Verse 21 says, he hath made him, God hath made Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made... Notice this, the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. When you got born again, you were made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Well, then, it's impossible to go from righteousness to righteousness.
Right.
Because when we were born again, you can't get more righteous than the righteousness of God.
Amen.
How are you going to improve on that righteousness?
Right.
Now, we learn to live it from faith to faith. But that's still not even what he said in that verse. Verse 17, therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. These things are revealed to us according to our faith. From faith to faith. Amen? Some people have more of a revelation of righteousness than others. But that's not because God just picked them to reveal himself to them. It's because of their faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some people don't believe God even exists. That's because of their lack of faith.
All right, then. Come on.
You know? Some people don't hear his voice. Some people don't know him. Some people don't see him. Whenever he'll work a miracle right in front of them and they don't recognize God. Why? No faith. I said no faith. They don't see him. They don't know him. They don't hear his voice. I say all the time, I know his voice. I have an unction and I know what to do. I'm led of the Spirit. I'm His child. He leads me and guides me. I have insight into mysteries and secrets. And I'm going from faith to faith more and more. I know Him better and reveal, you know, and say things like that all the time. So, but back here, verse 17, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just, here's what I wanted to get to. The just, now the word translated just and the word translated righteous is the same word. So it's the word righteous or just, same thing. But we'll use the word righteous. We use that and understand a little better. Let's read it again. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For the righteous, would that be all right to say it that way? For the righteous shall live by faith. This is the life. Faith is the life God has ordained for those that are right with Him. That makes sense. This is God's plan for your and my life. That we live by faith. Amen? It's His chosen life for you. He's chosen this. You know why? Because He's good. And He knows what's going to... He knows what's best. He knows what will bring you into everything He has in mind for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so, if this is His chosen life for you, then really, this is the life that we are to choose. If it's what He chose for us, we should choose, this is the way we're going to live. Now, notice He didn't say, this is, not that this is wrong, but this is not what this verse said. There, he said, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall get healed by faith. He didn't say, the just shall get saved by faith. Not that that's wrong. We do get saved by faith. We do get healed by faith. We do receive from God by faith. But that's not what He said. He said, the just shall live. This is not just something we do every now and then. It's a way of life. This is God's chosen way of living for His people. Hallelujah. If that's the case, then we have to make a conscious decision to live this life. If we don't make a conscious decision to live this life, we will not be living the life God planned that we live. Amen. Moses in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it said, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, he decided that Egypt was not his people. The Egyptians were not his people. And he decided that he was going to live by faith. If you read the whole passage, he lived by faith. Hallelujah. You can read it there. What is it? 26, 27 verses down through there. Hebrews chapter number 11. There came a point in Moses' life where he said, I'm living by faith. I'm living by faith. I have a choice here to live in everything the world has to offer. He was in the palace, grew up in the palace of the leading government of the world. It was the world power of the day. Think of the privileges that afforded him in the world's way of looking at privileges. Think of the status. Think of the fame. Think of the financial privileges. Just think of everything that was being handed to him. And he decided, because he was actually born a Hebrew, God had a plan for his life, and God was dealing with him about it. He decided to lay all that aside to choose, and he chose to live by faith. That meant the people he hung with was going to be the different than the people that could give him all those things.
Amen. Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is no small decision.
No.
But he came to that point where he made that decision, I'm living by faith. And listen, if he had chosen the world's way, he would be less famous than he is today. Less influential than he is today. Most world governments, most nations today ascribe to what is called the Ten Commandments as a basis for the laws of the land. Whether they want to admit it or not, they all agree stealing is not right. Lying is not right. Remember the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. If you kill, that's not right. It's all based on the law that Moses got. Whether they want to admit it or not. You know, it came from heaven. Revelation came from heaven. But Moses was the one used of God that way. And he's more famous today than he ever would have been serving the devil and being whatever he would have lived in Pharaoh's court. Amen. He chose. Because it was the life God chose for him. God said, Moses said, I want to walk with you, God. I want to do your plan. I want to serve you. And I love you more than these things. And God said, basically, if that's what you want to do, then live by faith.
Yeah.
Live by faith.
Amen.
Years ago, I came out of this was in prayer and healing school days. I came out of a real, I don't even think we were married yet. I don't remember if we were married yet. Well, we had to be married, actually, now that I think about it. But anyway, I guess you weren't there that day for some reason. I was there at healing school. I mean, at prayer school, and then dismissed, and healing school was going to start in a few minutes. And I came into the auditorium where healing school was getting ready to start, and for some reason, I was the first one in. And we had just had a powerful time in prayer school. And I mean, the Holy Ghost fell, and we were flowing in the Holy Ghost in prayer. It was just powerful. And I came out of there, and I walked across the back of the auditorium for healing school. Nobody else in there. And I'm like, glory to God. I'm excited. I said, Lord, I said, I want to live the most excited life I can live. And he spoke to me. I mean, it probably wasn't audible, but it rang through. I mean, every part of my being heard it. Like Brother Copeland said, my eyebrows heard it. He said, that's the life of faith, my son.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I kind of dropped from my chandelier because that wasn't what I wanted to hear, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah. The life of faith.
Amen.
Man, you get to do the impossible. You get to defy doctor's reports and all kinds of stuff. And just see what people haven't seen before. I mean, people in the Bible, you know, nobody has seen fire from the inside out. Have you been in the middle of a fire and seen fire from the inside out? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did.
That's right. Yep.
That's exciting. Nobody's ever done that before. How'd they do that? By faith.
That's right. By faith. Yep.
Nobody to this day has seen the bottom of the Red Sea except however many, 2-3 million Israelites came out of Egypt did. They can tell you what the rocks look like down there. They probably saw some skeletons of sea creatures nobody's ever seen before. That's exciting. Nobody's ever done that before. Nobody's ever got to pet a hungry lion all night long. Live to tell about it?
Yeah.
It's exciting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, this is the life God has chosen for us. The just shall what?
Live by faith.
Say it out loud. God chose me. It chose a life of faith for me. Amen. Now, have you chosen the life of faith? That's what we need to know. Remember, he said, I set heaven and earth before you. Remember Deuteronomy 30, what is it, verse number 19? I set heaven and earth before you. You know, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. You choose. How do you choose? You choose by deciding, I'm going to believe what he said. Amen. So, tell your neighbor, this choice has to be made. I don't know if you've made it or not, but it has to be made. Yeah. How many of you know it's not his choice? I mean, he's chosen that for you, but you can choose to live another way. You can choose to live worrying. You can choose to live bound by fear. You can choose to live by sight. You know what I'm talking about? You could choose other ways of living. But God's choice for you is the life of faith. And you can choose to live that life He's chosen for you. My goal this morning is to make, I believe it's the Spirit's goal, what He has in mind for us this morning, based on what He put in my heart, is to make you so hungry for the life of faith that you just have a high distaste for any other kind of living. You abhor it. You go, ugh, when you see it in yourself. Yeah, come on now. We're not talking about other people. We're talking about what we see in ourselves. You find yourself worrying for a day and a half. You go, oh, I can't stand that. I hate living that way. You're hungry to live by faith. Because I think we skip over this and assume everybody is hungry to live this way, and I don't think that's right. I think some people want to bail out by faith. They want just enough of walking by faith to get what they need right now, and then thank you, Lord, bye-bye. I'll see you next time I have a need. But that's not where real living really is. Real living is living by faith. That means every choice, every thought, every word, every friendship, everything is decided based on your faith. I was thinking this morning, people wear those bracelets. What would Jesus do? I think we need to ask those same people. We need to instruct those same people and say, Jesus would say, live by faith.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
He sure would.
Amen.
Amen.
So the question, maybe we ought to start a new thing with a wristband that said, what would faith do? Because over and over, whenever he met people, he said, if you can believe according to your faith, be it unto you according to your faith. Over and over. You read the Gospels. He said it over and over and over and over. He said, wherefore didst thou doubt?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So he's constantly instructing them, live by faith. This is the chosen life I have for you. Live by faith. Live by faith.
Amen.
Live by faith.
Amen.
Talk faith words.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Believe what I said over what you see. So what would Jesus do? Sure, absolutely. But what he would say would be live by faith. Live by faith.
Amen.
The just shall live by faith. Amen. Tell your neighbor it's God's chosen life for you. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. I know this is simple. But, you know, any good sports team goes back over the basics and just you know, especially if something's not working and they're losing over and over again, you know. So we walk by faith, not by sight. Tell your neighbor we walk. Walk by faith. What does it mean to walk by faith? Well, what does it mean to walk? Anybody ever walked? This is simple. Huh? If you walk by faith, to walk means, well, first of all, walk is action. Isn't that right? But it's not just, or motion, you know. It's not just actions or motion. It's successive actions and continuous motion. If I'm standing here and I go like this and I take one step, you wouldn't look at your neighbor and say, he just walked. Huh? You would say, he took one step. But that's not walking. Walking is continuous step after step. It's continuous. The just shall live by faith, but we walk by faith, not by sight. Isn't that right? So it's a continuous successive series of continued steps that does what? It moves you forward in a particular direction. It moves you in a direction. Amen? Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So to walk by faith is to continually take actions of faith that are going taking you in a certain direction. What's the direction? Faith. We go from faith to faith. faith to faith. Faith, another step. The Bible said about Abraham and his faith, this is in the fourth chapter of Romans, it says, well, it's exhorting us based on Abraham's faith. It said that we walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Abraham didn't take one step. He took steps towards leaving his homeland because God instructed him to. He took steps to go into the land God showed him. He took a step of believing what God said when God said to Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a son. Isn't that right?
Yes,
and then he took steps when God said, offer that son offer him up on Mount Moriah. He took that step and he kept taking steps. He kept walking in the light.
Amen. Amen.
How many of you know it's not enough to take one step of faith and stop?
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a life thing.
Yes,
this,
it is.
Well, how long do I have to do this, honey, for the rest of your life?
Your life. That's right. That's right.
And get that whine out of your voice and say it something like this. How long do I get to do this?
Amen.
Because when you understand what faith will do for you, which is I'm going to make you so hungry for it this morning.
Yes.
Actually, I can't do that. God's going to make you so hungry for this morning. That you get you see the joy of living by faith. Praise God. So tell your neighbor we walk. In other words, we don't walk by sight, which means taking successive series of steps that moves me in the direction of what I see. If you don't like what you see, don't take steps toward what you see. Well, I just never have been ahead financially. I guess it never will be, you know. I don't have much of an education. You're just,
come on.
Out there you see lack and you just keep on taking steps towards lack.
Come on. Yeah.
I mean, your mama didn't raise a fool, did she? Take steps in the direction you want things to go. Hallelujah. If you want to have something different than what you see, don't keep walking by what you see. It's successive actions that's going to take you in that direction. This is easy, but it's profound. It's simple, but it's amazing when you think about it. Amen. Hallelujah. You keep walking by what you see, you're going to keep seeing what you see, or more of it. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If you keep taking steps of faith, you're going to start seeing what you're believing for. Are you going to start going that direction? Amen. Now, there's a path that takes you into different scenery. If it's been the same old, you know, you've been seeing the same thing, there's a path to take you in a different direction where the whole scene of your life changes. And it's the path of faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you're going to have to move by faith. Not just carry faith in your heart. Take steps. God's waiting on you. I'm waiting on the Lord. I doubt it. I doubt it. I doubt it. I'm a doubter when it comes to you waiting on the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's say, because Pastor Debbie and I like, when we go on vacation, we like to go to the mountains. We like mountains. She likes beaches, too. I kind of like beaches. We go to beaches because she likes beaches. But we found the compromise. Hawaii has beaches and mountains. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Oh, she wants to know when we're going back. So I guess that's a sign. But anyway, when we go to the mountains and, you know, we like to go on hikes, take trails and find out what's up here. What do you see if you go around this hill, this mountain and so forth, or drive or whatever, sometimes drive. But if every day we get up and we take the same trail, and guess what we're going to keep seeing? We're going to keep seeing the same thing. We're going to keep seeing the same scenery. After a while, we could look at one another and say, is that all there is to these mountains? That's all we ever see. Somebody said they were the whole length of Colorado, or, you know, top to bottom, and they said they're miles wide, and there must be a lot more to this. We're not seeing everything. Well, you got to take a different route. You got to.
Yeah,
amen. If you want to see different scenery, you got to take different route. Same thing with walking by sight. You keep walking by sight, you keep seeing the same thing. Start walking by faith, and the scenery will change because you're on a different path. Now, go over to the 10th verse of Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 10. Now, I'm going to read the Amplified. The Amplified, Ephesians 2, verse number 10. For we are God's own handiwork. Tell your neighbor, boy, you're a masterpiece. Handiwork. Listen, people that do handiwork, they're not the rough carpenters. Handiwork is the intricate carvings in the mantle of the fireplace or wherever, you know, it's the fancy stuff. It's the molding coming together perfectly, and it's beautiful the way they created it. How many of you know that's the handiwork stuff? And he said, here, you are God's handiwork. Amplified goes on and says, his workmanship. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot we could spend time on, but let's keep on going. Recreated in Christ Jesus. How many of you know you and I didn't make ourselves? Whenever somebody sees the glory of God in us and sees something and says, glory to God, we have to go exactly, glory to him. Because this is not me you're seeing, this is him you're seeing. We are his handiwork. We are his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. Now here's what that we were born for, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. So there's work for us to do. There's work for us to do. And then he goes on and tells us more about this work, taking paths which he has prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. Now notice, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Living the good life. Where is this good life? By walking these paths.
Yes.
We've already found out what path that, one of those paths is path of faith.
Yeah. Amen.
We walk on a path of faith. That's what Hebrews 12, verse number 1, is talking about when it says, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience. What does it say? The race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our
faith.
Oh, so this is a faith race.
Yes.
This is a course laid out by God, planned by heaven for us to walk.
Amen.
And it's walked, it is a path of faith.
Yes, amen. That's so good.
Woo, glory. Do you know we've had in Spirit of Faith Family Church, I lost count, I'm going to guess, maybe 5 to 7 different people over the years since we've been here pastoring, maybe others before, and I'm sure others in other places, I'm not saying only here, you know. But people that have had experiences where they've been caught up to heaven, had experiences with God. And of those, I'm trying to remember, I think there was one that wasn't this way because God was dealing with them about another situation that he was ministering to them about that was unrelated. But other than that one that I'm thinking of right now, to my recollection, every single one of them said in heaven, God showed them that there was a particular path he had planned for them to walk and that they should stay on that path. That tells you it's important to God. He wants us to know that. Amen. Now listen to the Amplified. Rather than say, the Amplified says something about this race. It says, rather than race, the Amplified says, the appointed course of the race that is set before us. There's something that we've been appointed to. There's a course that we've been appointed to. Listen, that might take a unique, take on unique aspects for each of us. Like, for example, if somebody's called into ministry, there'll be some unique things about that course for their life that'll be different than somebody else who's maybe called to business or something like that. But the underlying course for all of us is faith.
Yes. That's right.
All of us have to walk by faith.
Right.
All of us get to take what he has said to us and believe it and act on it.
Amen.
Whether it's ministry, business, being a housewife, being a raising good godly children. None of those are less than. How many of you know it's all important? If you're using your faith to do what God's put you in and the course He's given you, then you're just as pleasing to God as anybody else. As some world famous minister on TV or something. It's huge. We got to see it right. Especially if the person's using their faith to do it. That's what pleases Him. He didn't say, if you're called to the ministry, that's the only way you can please me. He said, no, He didn't say that. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please me. And anybody can use their faith. You can be a house mom and use your faith to raise those children and do it right the way the Word says. That's pleasing to Him. Hallelujah. I might just do it. I might preach myself happy this morning. Tell your neighbor it's an appointed course. And really, the basis of that course is, it is a course of faith. Amen? The important course is a course of faith. And so, He's appointed that the righteous live by faith. That's the appointed plan. That we take the plan, that we take the course of faith. In other words, the path of faith. That's His plan for us. And not just getting healed by faith. We're going to look at people in the Bible that did everything they did by faith. Can you say amen? That's His plan for you. Hallelujah. And guess what is on that good, guess what is on that path? He said it in Ephesians 2:10, the good life. Huh? See, now you understand why I said, because I asked you, why did God appoint that for His people to walk by faith? I said, because He's good. He wants you to have the good life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you see now? Because faith is what receives all that He has. All His goodness. Isn't that right?
Amen.
People say, well, God has appointed us to have the good life. That's true. But that's getting the cart before the horse. People want to just jump from being saved to the good life, but there's something you've got to walk by to keep you on that course that is the good life.
Amen.
But let's not get the cart before the horse. Let's not just treat faith like, okay, we'll push that aside. We just want to run to the good life. No, no, the course is faith. It's walking by faith. Walking by faith, not by sight. It's living by faith. The just shall live by faith. Amen? Are you getting anything?
Yes, sir.
Well, we need to know about this faith life. It ought to be something we're interested in. You know, what is it? What is faith? You know, how do we live this way? How many of you know the Bible goes over all these things? It goes into great detail about it. What does a life of faith look like? What does a person who's walking by faith, what's their countenance look like? Do we have any? Where is it? What kind is it? Where did it come from? Who gave it? Are there different kinds? Amen. If there are different kinds, which kind pleases Him? Amen. And if I have some, how do I get more? Can I grow in this? Huh? All these questions are questions the Bible answers. How about, if I have some, is that enough? Do I have to do anything else? Yeah, act on it. That's what walking is, acting on it. Hallelujah. And so, I think we assume, before we get to all those kinds of things, we assume too often that people are just really interested in walking by faith. People sometimes, I think, in growing in the ministry, I think they just sort of got saved and, hey, that's good enough for me. You know what I'm talking about? God, just leave well enough alone. I'll just live my life the way I want to live it. You know what I'm talking about? Huh? I think we skip over the fact that we just talk about faith and assume everybody wants to live by it. I'm convinced after pastoring for whatever, 18, 19 years, not everybody wants to live by faith. A lot of folks aren't even interested. Amen. And so, We got to start back here. If this is God's chosen plan for us, then we should be interested. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people are interested whenever they need healing or they need a bailout. But they're not interested in living this way. Day in, day out. They consult with what the Word says because faith is based on the Word. They don't want to consult with God what His Word says about just everything in life, every decision. You know, what does God's Word have to say about it? That's not the way they want to live. They want to be the one in charge of their life. They want to be the one making all the decisions. They don't want somebody else having a say. They're not interested in making their whole life a life of faith. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It literally, because living by faith literally requires that you giving up, you being the highest authority in your life. Somebody else has a say about everything. And that's what separates the men from the boys, the girls from the women. You know what I'm talking about? You don't, whenever you choose, I'm going to live by faith, you can't choose your own thoughts because He's Lord of your thoughts. You don't choose your what you say because He's Lord of what you say. Faith has a voice into what you say. You know what I'm talking about? You don't make your own choices. Faith, you consult with your faith to make choices. Amen. How many of you know faith will, faith will consult with what God has to say about this person I'm getting ready to marry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they fit a description of a godly husband or a godly wife?
Yeah.
I got a newsflash for some ladies here. Can I newsflash? Give you a newsflash? Some guys will come to church a little bit or act like they're saved a little bit to get you, and then that's it. They're out. You need to know that.
Yes.
I know. We used to assume everybody knew that. Found out everybody doesn't know that. Amen. What's he do whenever? What kind of life was he living before you met him? Was he going to church? Was he reading his Bible? Was he talking about the things of God? Was he interested? That's who he really is then. Walking or choosing this life of faith literally means you acknowledge what he has to say, God has to say about everything. It means, oh Jesus forbid this, that he become Lord, not just Savior. I didn't mean that Jesus forbid this because that's the way I think, but that's the way a lot of people think. I'm giving up my life. Yeah. But listen, you have no clue of what you're gaining. To talk and think that way, you're blinded to what you gain.
Yes, sir. Come on.
The good life.
Come on.
Hello? We got to believe the Bible. The good life. That's what you gain. Tell your neighbor, that's what you gain, the good life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is so important to him that he said, without faith, it's impossible to please me. And it's so important to him that you and I live this way that he sends people into our lives to help us walk by faith. First of all, the Holy Spirit, for example, the very first and most important. The Holy Spirit will guide us right into a life of faith. He'll never lead you into unbelief. He'll never lead you to make a choice against God's Word. He'll never lead you to doubt. He'll never lead you to fear. He'll never lead you to worry. He'll lead you always into faith. Amen. Number one, the Holy Spirit is given. Jesus is so important to him. To us, we live by faith. He's given us the Holy Spirit to be our tutor in the life of faith. Second of all, it says in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, Paul said, I pray night and day exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith.
Amen.
So God, it's so important to him that we live by faith that he has sent people into our lives to help us understand the life of faith. Amen. Because he wants us to live this, but he just doesn't want us to live it. He wants us to understand and practice it on purpose.
Amen.
If you're living by something, you're practicing it on purpose.
Amen.
So he wants us to know how to make it work on purpose. And he sends us people. Paul said he was one of those people that was sent into the lives of the Thessalonians to perfect what was lacking in their faith. 2 Corinthians 1:24, not that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand.
Amen.
There are people God sends into our lives to help us with our faith and our joy. Hey, how do they help our joy and help our faith? They keep reminding us of what God said.
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And when we hear the word, we cheer up. Like somebody said to me the other day, I just had to get back in church. I knew that's where, if I got here, I knew I'd get what I needed.
Yeah.
Sure enough, they did.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know, though, that when God sends us people, the Holy Spirit, for example, very first person, the most important, but then other people that he anoints and sends to teach us the life of faith, when he sends us those individuals, we have to be interested in what they are teaching.
Yeah. Right.
No one can teach a man something he's not interested in.
Right. True story.
I was not interested in algebra, so nobody. Brother Andre, I'm sorry, but I was not interested. I figured I'd let that up to the people that are called to work with algebra. Amen. And so because I wasn't that interested, and my biggest deal was I kept looking at the teacher saying, and I know there's reasons people would need this, but I kept looking at him saying, why would anybody ever need this? I could not figure that out. Now, there's reasons. People know the algebra. They've helped us a lot in our society, in our culture. You understand? And calculus and further and on. But I wasn't called to do that. I had my own course. You know what I'm talking about? And algebra, even Algebra 1 wasn't on that course. I think God was looking down from heaven saying, why are you in here? They made me, Lord. They made me. All right. It's keeping some of you that aren't interested, keeping you interested. How we respond to those God says that he sent to help us has everything to do with how well we grow in faith. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Jesus sent Brother Hagin to teach his people faith. Remember, he said, go teach my people faith. I've taught you faith through my word and through certain experiences I've allowed you to go through. Now go teach my people what I've taught you. Why? Why did Jesus want Brother Hagin to teach and minister on the subject of faith? Because he wanted his people to learn how to do it. Huh? Now, that's a ringy-dingy, isn't it? Wow, that's a revelation. We're revelating this morning, aren't we? He wants his people to learn how to walk by faith. Why? Because he's good. And this is where the good life is. Hey, you're getting it. Praise God. But how many of you know Brother Hagin's not the only one God sent to teach his people faith? All those that went to his school were sent there to train to take this message further than Brother Hagin could get it on his own. And really, there's people that are teaching it well that didn't even go to that school because they caught it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is God's plan for us. Are we getting it? This is God's plan, that we live by faith. So here's the thing. We've got to be interested. I said, I think we assume too often people are interested. But the reason that, you know, a lot of people, they think, well, you know, faith, you know, I hear people talk about it and so forth. I just never have seen the necessity of that. You know, I'm interested in this in the Bible and that in the Bible. Everything in the Bible is connected to faith. Faith is connected to everything in the Bible. I don't believe if you've not preached faith, I don't believe you've preached the Bible yet.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
It'll open up things for you you never imagined were in there. And somebody said, well, is it all about just faith for healing? Faith? No, it's faith to know Him. Faith to hear His voice.
Amen.
Are you with me this morning?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. So this is His chosen path. Hallelujah. Say, I'm interested. Now, let's look at some of the things that we see faith enables us to do. And this is what God put in my heart to whet your appetite. Get you hungry for this lifestyle. Amen. How about one of the greatest, I'll just sum it up before we even get into it and say it this way. The greatest things that will ever happen in your life will be as a result of you moving out of the natural realm into the spiritual realm and operating there by faith.
Amen.
Taking, listen, this book came out of the unseen realm. This is God's word. God spoke this out of the realm of the Spirit to us to guide our lives and to instruct us and to build our faith with.
Amen.
This is out of another realm.
Yes, sir, yes.
This is not man written out of the brain of a man. This is authored by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is God's word. This is God speaking to us. It came out of the heart of God. This is what He wanted us to know. He could have revealed a trillion other things about Himself. The Bible says for eternity, we will be seeing Him more and more and more and knowing Him more and more and more. There are many, many things to know about God. But here's the thing that He wants us to know right now. Here's what He has chosen to reveal about Himself right now. And this right now is enough.
That's right.
For you right now.
Right now.
Hallelujah. It's enough for you right now. And so take this and start acting on this, which came out of another realm. And the greatest things that will ever happen in your life will be as a result of doing that. Be the result of doing that. Amen. There are many, many things God has planned for His children. Many wonderful experiences in God, knowing Him, in the realm of faith, and trusting Him, taking Him at His word. That gets you into things that on your own, in your own efforts, by your own wit and by your own brain, your own noodle, you could never make happen in a billion years. Hallelujah. I'm living today in a place spiritually, in my mind, freedom in my mind, in strength in my body, in wisdom for relationships, financially, just a lot of different areas. I'm living in a place today that as a child, I never even dreamed was possible.
Yes, sir.
And here's the rest of the story. I'm not done yet. I'm not done walking by faith.
No, sir. No, sir.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
And what does it do? It all brings glory to God.
Yes.
People that knew my squirrely mind and how tormented I was, and they see me today, peace sleeping without popping pills, and peace in my mind, peace in my conscience, walking in victory, not on medications. They just have to look and say, glory to God.
Amen.
Your faith gives glory to God.
Amen.
Go with me. I was going to get into that. But real quickly, go back here. 1 Peter, I believe it is. Let's look at it. You got to see this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, I believe it is. Hallelujah. Remember he said this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith. Don't ever let off that through faith part. People say, well, I'm kept by the power of God. No, through faith. Through faith. Kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. He's talking to believers who are already saved. He said there's even more to this salvation than just getting born again. Unto salvation. Now notice, ready to be revealed in the last times. Now, wherein you greatly rejoice, wherein, in faith, you greatly rejoice. That's one thing faith lets you do. It lets you greatly rejoice in tests and trials. Though now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. He's saying they're rejoicing right in the middle of all these heavy temptations, these oppressive things that make you, that try to oppress you and bring a heaviness on your mind. He said, you're rejoicing. See, that's what faith lets you do. That's why this life is so, that's why God chose this life for you. Because this life he chose for you, it's not dependent on circumstances where you're depressed half the time. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Hallelujah. In the middle of all these manifold temptations. Now notice that the trial of your faith. See, Satan will test your faith. Being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, now notice, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Yes. Hallelujah.
People that walk by faith bring great glory to God.
Yes.
People see the results and they go, praise the Lord. And they start getting hungry. I want to learn.
Because
they see miracles. Deliverances. They see you living the good life. And they go, glory to God. Now notice it says, they might be found unto praise, honor, and glory. Now notice, at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Don't just think. Now, he's going to come. He's coming again to appear in the sky. But don't just think about whenever he appears in the sky. How many of you know whenever there's a miracle shows up in your life, Jesus just showed up.
Yes, he did.
And appeared.
Yes. Yes, he did.
He just manifested himself. People of unbelief can't see him. But we all see him. Hallelujah. Where's Christina Miller here? She's here. I mean, that tree fell. It brushed her. The small branches, the little wee branches, brushed her back as it missed her.
Yes.
People of unbelief say, just a coincidence. And we go, I see Jesus. I see him. I see his work. I see his activity. I see the results. If you doubt it now, wait to heaven. You get to heaven and watch the video. Hallelujah. Okay, so we got that out. The greatest things you're going to experience in this life is going to be the result of entering into the spirit realm walking by faith. Let's look at some things faith enables you to do. Faith enables you to be unimpressed with the devil's activity. Even though he's boisterous in talking to you. You remember whenever Peter was walking on the water? He walked on the water to go to Jesus, isn't that right? Seeing the wind boisterous, then he got his attention on the wind. And seeing the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. Isn't that right? And Jesus said, O thou little faith, wherefore didst you doubt? So it was a faith issue, wasn't it? But see, he had been walking and seeing all that, but he wasn't paying attention to it. Faith enables you to do that. You get to walk in the middle of the yakety yak yak. See, that's the way the devil talks. Boisterous. Boisterous. He tries to overwhelm you with feelings of what he's saying is so, and he tries to speak louder than God and tries to get you to hear him more than you hear God. He's trying to drown out the voice of the Spirit. And faith enables you to have an even temperament. You know what I mean? An even demeanor and an unchanged expression in the middle of all that yakety yak yak. And just be at peace in the middle of it all. It enables you to walk in peace. That right, if that was the only thing faith enabled me to do, I'd sign up right there. Because The older I get, the more peace means to me. I don't know if it's because of spiritual maturity or what. Probably a combination of things, but peace means a whole lot more to me than it used to be. I don't like, I'm not talking about, you know, children playing, having fun, and making noise. I'm not talking about that. But I don't like drama. I don't like boo-hooing and unbelief. How many of there's different kinds of crying? I don't like the overwhelm of you know, people all anxious about things they're going through. Now, I'm not saying I don't love them and I don't have compassion on them. I'm just saying me, myself, I don't want to live that way. I don't. It's a bridge out. It's a bridge to nowhere. So, but faith enables you to live that way with an even, unimpressed, even temperament that your expressions or demeanor, they don't change in the presence of opposition, fear, the voice of the enemy. The doctor said, you know what I'm talking about? The wife coming and saying, I just did the checkbook and we don't have enough money. God supplies all our needs. Pass the sweet potato pie.
Come on now.
We're moving up from potatoes. We're going to sweet potato pie.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
There you go.
Why? Because we got our care cast on the Lord.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about, He cares for us. That's what faith enables you to do. People that are in unbelief, that don't know God, they can't do that. I said, they can't do that. Faith enables you to do that. Oh, glory. I said, oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Faith enables you to rejoice and count it all joy when you encounter diverse tests and trials. Remember James 1? James started out his book very abrupt. Hi, I'm James. Count it all joy, folks. That's the way he started out. He just started out saying, count it all joy when you enter into, other translations say, various tests or trials. Can you do that? What kind of person does that? Strange people do that. No, faith people do that. Why? Because they know something. Remember what he said? Knowing this. Knowing, because they know something. So faith enables you to do that. Now, Hebrews 11, there's a whole lot in Hebrews 11 about walking by faith. One of them, let me turn to this passage and just give you the right reference so you can mark it down, or if you want to turn to it. Hebrews 11 says, verse number 19, talking about God speaking to Abraham about offering Isaac. It says that God spoke to him about, you can read there in verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise had offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now notice verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Notice, by faith, Abraham offered Isaac, accounting.
Yeah.
Notice that.
Yeah.
Accounting that God was going to raise him from the dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you look up the word accounting, other translations will say concluding or figuring, or one translation say deducting. Faith enables you. One of the ways you can stay, one of the reasons faith enables you to stay in peace is it enables you to come to right conclusions.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It enables you, because when people get all worked up, they have come to a conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That we're going under.
Yep.
No. When they're worked up, they just think, you know, they've already decided how it's going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This is going down.
Yeah.
We're all going to die.
Come on.
You know, like a storm blows through. Like, if you're first going to, we're going to all die. You decided something in unbelief. Faith enables you to decide and come to conclusions in faith. faith enables you to decide. Like here, think about this. Think about the situation Abraham's in. God had said to him, I'm going to give you a son through you and Sarah, not through Hagar, you and Sarah, and through him is all these promises are going to come and be fulfilled. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And then Jacob had 12 boys, and those were the 12 tribes of Israel. And then Israel came, and all those things were fulfilled. Yeah. The Messiah came through them and all that. God told Abraham that it was going to be through Isaac that all this would be fulfilled. That they would possess the land, and the Messiah would come, and all these things. So the promised child is on the scene. That's a whole exercise of faith, which Abraham walked by to get that. And then he's on the scene, and then God says, all right, I want you to offer him to me and return him back to me. Abraham looked at that. How many of you know God was the one that gave it to him? And then now God's saying, now give him back to me. How can all that come to pass if he's not alive? Did God lie? So Abraham said, well, I guess God's going to raise him from the dead. Rather than, God's taking my boy from me. God's out of here.
Come on now.
What if God gave you a dream house or something like that, and then he says, now move out and live somewhere else? Or sell that to somebody else in the church or something. Or give it away if you got it paid off. What? He's taking something. No, wait. You're about to make a unbelief deduction. And we do these things without even realizing it. We've come to a conclusion already against God's promises to us and in our lives because we're not walking by faith. We're walking by sight. Faith enables you to stay even keel the whole time. When God says, give something away that he blessed you with, unbelief doesn't cry about it. Unbelief says, oh, I'm planting a seed for a nicer one. Just saying. Anybody still interested in walking by faith? It's an interesting life. Amen. So it enables you to make the right deductions and come to the right conclusions. Praise the Lord. God's given us many promises in our heart and in his word, first of all, of course, but then in our heart about things he wants to do in our lives and use. And when the doctor comes and says, it's cancer and you've got 3 months to live. Well, what about all those promises? You just made a deduction. They're not true. You need to conclude, well, God's going to heal me.
That's right. That's what the truth says.
And what's that do? It keeps you in peace.
Yes.
Doesn't you don't get all worked up. What a way to live. Rather than on the roller coaster. You know, all worked up and in a hissy and a tissy and a whatever. I don't know what else people get all worked up. And you know that's the reason why a lot of people are on medications today? I'm not saying that's the only thing. There's other things. But there's chemical imbalance and stuff. But I think this is adding to the chemical imbalance. Worrying, concluding we're going under over and over and again. It just is not the life God planned for you. Not the life God planned for you. Tell your neighbors, not the life God planned for you. Amen. It enables you to talk right. It enables you to declare the end from the beginning. You can tell everybody how it's going to turn out. Well, I'm just waiting to see. That's not faith. Bible said God's he declares the end from the beginning. Well, yeah, but that's God. We're not God. You're right. But what about Jairus? You come lay your hand on her and she'll be healed. He declared the end from the beginning. What about the woman with the issue of blood? If I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. She declared the end from the beginning. What about David?
Come on.
Goliath said, I'm going to feed you to the dogs. He said, David said, I'm taking your head off today.
That's right. Yep.
Newsflash, go ahead and start printing the headlines. Yep. This is the way it's going to turn out.
Amen.
Start the presses. Get the ink caught, man. This is the way it's coming to pass. You might not know all the details. But you know, when the dust all settles, And everybody's looking around, see what happened?
Yeah.
Here you are standing, holding Goliath's head. You get to say the end from the beginning. Wow. Faith lets you do that. Faith lets you do that. Oh, I'm just getting started. Hallelujah. Faith, it enables you to throw away titles that were put on you and labels that were put on you by the world. Are you out there? Slow. Dumb. You know, anybody ever had a title as a kid put on you? Those are all things that can get in a man, and it starts forming his inner identity, and it affects his whole life. It affects his confident level to make decisions. You know, if you've had spoken over you as a child, you know, some parents, bless their darling hearts, they tell children that they're raising in their own home, you'll never amount to anything, or you'll never have this or never have that because you're not smart in school or whatever, you know. Why on earth would parents speak words like that over a child? You know? And those things get inside and affect the way people see themselves. And affects their ability to make right choices and everything like that. But before we get angry or mad at parents or, you know, little friends in school that put these things on us, just know faith can overcome all that. Faith can overcome all of that. Blind Bartimaeus had a label on him. It's blind. It's so much so that it's part of his name, Blind Bartimaeus. To identify him, they said Blind Bartimaeus. I mean, that's a label. But whenever he heard that Jesus was saying to him, come, he threw that thing off. Remember that garment he threw away identified him as a blind man. He didn't just throw that away because this is the faith thing to do. He didn't know enough about faith to say, okay, faith, well, what would faith do? It throw this away. No, something changed on the inside. He saw himself. Don't call me blind anymore. I'm just Bart. Just call me Bart. Seeing Bart.
Hallelujah.
Something changed on him. The identity that he had and had been put in on him all those years, it all changed. Let me say something else because we're running out of time. Just hit a couple of the little high spots here. Also, faith it won't leave you in your past. You know what I mean? It believes that the future is bright in spite of the past. Here's the best example. Rahab. How many of you know her past was not godly? It was sinful. It meant punishment from God, destruction. It meant, you know, all those things. But when she got the report that God was giving Israel or giving Jericho into Israel's hands, she believed that report.
She did.
She believed it.
Yes.
She hid the spies. You remember that story?
Yep.
I mean, that'd be a place to hide. I mean, it wouldn't be uncommon for men to be going and coming, you know. Now, I mean, if you're going to be a spy, you find out someplace where you don't stand out when you go and come. So that's where they hid. But she believed God and hid those spies and protected them, even when somebody's come saying, hey, there's some spies came in here. And I said, and she protected them, kept them hidden. But then remember whenever she allowed them to say, here's the sign, you know, the cord out the window and so forth. So come another, whenever Israel comes to attack, they don't attack this house, you remember. And there was a whole scenario of things that happened there. And Rahab became a Jewish lady serving Jehovah, living for God. And actually got in the lineage of the Messiah.
She did. That's right. That's right.
She's a great, 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 how many times great grandma of Jesus.
Right.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
How'd she get there? She was in sin. I mean, living in a crazy lifestyle.
Yeah.
How'd she get from there over to great, 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 great grandma to Jesus? Faith. Faith won't leave you in your past. Faith doesn't seal you and say your future is dark because of your past. No, faith can do away with the past and say my future is bright in spite of my past.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. I don't know if that thrills you like it thrills me. Tell your neighbor you ought to get excited because this is the life God's ordained for you. It enables you to obtain promises. Hello? You can live through the impossible. Isn't that right? You can obtain God's approval. The Bible talks about that. You can prepare for the yet unseen. We just talked about that. You can obey when you don't understand without being troubled in your mind. We talked about that. You can conceive a child when the doctors say you can't. Sarah did that by faith. No. Hallelujah. You can embrace the future with hope and excitement. There's a lot of people that have no excitement about the future. There's a lot of spirit of faithers I've met that have very little excitement about the future. I'm thrilled about what's ahead. The good life. Oh, man, oh, man, oh. Tell your neighbor the good life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can speak of the future with as much certainty as the past. You're certain about what happened in the past, but you can talk about the future with just as much certainty. Well, how do you know that? You never can tell what God's going to do. No, if you have faith in His Word, you can tell exactly what He's going to do. Tell exactly what He's going to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And you can speak a thing and it be fulfilled. Whoa. Ooh. Whoa. You can exercise the authority of God's throne. Operate in the supernatural. Manifest the power of God. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You can beat the odds. Odds are XXXYZ, this won't happen. You can beat it. I said you can beat it. Hallelujah. You can accomplish what others never could. They tried and never could do it. And here you are doing it. Hallelujah. Are you still out there? Praise God. Can I finish? You can war a good warfare. The Bible said fight the good fight of faith. You can war a good warfare. You can rest in the middle of trouble. You can give substance to your desires. Isn't that right? The Bible talks about through faith is the substance of things hoped for or desired. Woo! You know, you move out of being a wannabe to actually there it is. We living right in it. We driving it, honey. We living in this place. Hallelujah. Can you see what faith will do for you? And a whole lot more. So thankful for what God gave us the opportunity to do. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God for living by faith. Amen. One thing faith will do is it'll enable you to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
People say, I just can't forgive myself. Well, you can't. But with the help of the greater one in you, you can do it.
Yeah.
If you use your faith. But I'm just washed up now. I failed. I messed up. Well, think about Rahab.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about David.
Yes.
I mean, he commits adultery.
Yeah.
All kinds of people in the Bible that were far beneath perfect. But one thing they had going for them, they had faith. They had faith. Remember the story Jesus told of the two boys that his father had two boys? We call it the parable of the prodigal son, remember? This one, he said, I'll do that. He said, Dad, is this all our inheritance? He said, yep. Dad said, and this is the type of God.
Yeah.
Jesus said, he's the type of God. This is all inheritance? Yep. He said, well, do I have to wait till you die to get it? That's Pastor Jay's paraphrase, but that's basically what he said.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I want mine now is what he wanted. So his father divided to them, both the older and the younger boy, his living. And you remember, he went out and he messed up big time. He lived it up, partied it away, lost it all, and got down to having nothing. He's eating pig food. Remember that? Messed up. He's like, man, I don't know what. I messed up bad. And the devil said, yeah, you're doomed right now. You're going to eat pig food for the rest of your life. And he thought about it. He thought, my father's servants have it better than me. I'm going to go home and just ask Dad if I can be a servant. In other words, I'll work for a paycheck. And he went home. He had the faith to go ask that. And the Bible said his father saw him and didn't let him go there about the servant stuff. He started in his little speech. You remember? We've shared that before. He had the speech prepared. He practiced it on the pigs. Yeah. It said that he thought to himself, I will go to my father. I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth, heaven and against you, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants. He practiced that speech down there at the pig pen. The pigs oinked and said it sounded good. And he left, and he got to his dad, and he started in on his speech, but his father stopped him when he said, because he said he needed to repent. He said, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And he had. He needed to repent. But then he said, he started in on the rest of it. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And he was going to say the rest. Make me one of your hired servants. But his father saw where he was going and stopped it.
That's right.
And said, no, we're not going there. We're not going there. Not going there. And he said, bring the fatted calf. Bring the robe.
Yes.
Bring the toenail clippers. Bring the soap. Bring the razor. Come on. Call Teresa. Cut his eyebrows. Get the ear hairs out of his ears. and we're going to have a party because you, my son, you were dead and you're alive. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah.
And so what did the son say? No, I'm not worthy, Dad. I'm not worthy. I just need to work. The son didn't do that. When the father said, basically all that was covenant ceremony to restore him back to the place he had before he left. That's what that fatted calf was, a covenant ceremony. Amen. And he restored him back. Praise the Lord.
Yes,
and the son went on and on about how he wasn't worthy.
Nope.
No. He said, yeah, that's right. Where's that fatted calf? Get the music started. I'm back home, man. Wait, what did he do? He forgave himself. His father forgave him, but he forgave himself. Faith will enable you to do that. You can talk about that prodigal son all you want, how raunchy he was, how terrible and sinful and how wasteful and all that money's gone, and you could talk about him all, but one thing he had going for him, he knew how to receive. When his daddy said, we're going to restore you back to the rightful place that belongs to you, he said, thank you, Daddy. Woo, he's a good receiver. And he forgave himself. Faith will enable you to do that. I know people, I'm thinking of one right now, they lived their whole life beat up and tormented in their mind because they couldn't forgive themselves of an illegitimate child that was conceived out of marriage way back there years ago. And beat himself up for the rest of his life and did without. So many things. Because that thing was the root of all the torment and the oppression and everything. You understand what I'm talking about? That's a lack of faith. That is not the life God planned for you. Isn't that good?